We have a relationship with the St John's and Red Cross, and we've had that relationship for quite some time now. What they do for us at the minute is they provide additional resources, additional vehicles to us each day, 16 vehicles in total, to help us with our workload on a daily basis.
So what sort of calls are these paramedics, if we can call them that, from the Red Cross and St John's dealing with? What type of calls are they going to?
We want to try and retain or keep available our paramedical core service availability. Where we've got these additional resources from the St John's and Red Cross, that they get deployed to the lower acuity type patients, which in turn allows our core paramedical service to respond to the high acuity, the life-threatening type calls that we receive on a daily basis.
Why are you doing this? Because sat in front of me, I've got your targets for in relation to the response times that you need to meet, the obligations you have. We're constantly being told that the NHS is a ring-fenced budget, so as far as we know, you're not losing that much amount of money at the moment. You're hitting your targets, you're well-funded. Why are you doing this? There's no need to do this, is there?
Yeah, there is. We have discussions with our commissioners, who are the purchasers of our service, and we come up with what we expect our activity figures to be for that forthcoming year. And this year, the commissioners felt it necessary to set our income on that activity for the next 12 months less than what we were forecasting. Because that income for this year is not a recurrent income, we'll not get it next year. We've got this cash for 1 year, so the only way we can do that is by providing these flexible resources to sort of fill the gap for the first for this year.
When you start talking about covering gaps, it sounds like you're short-staffed. Are you?
Well, we're not short-staffed. What we've got is we've got an activity assumption that we make each year. What we've got is we've got this year, I suppose you could class it as a bit of a gap, but what we've got is we've got, from the beginning of the year, we knew we would have less resources than required to fit the forecast activity. So we've used the 12-month cash that we've got available from the commissioners to fund the flexible resources, that we would call them, to make sure that we maintain our targets moving forward and obviously our response time standards, as you mentioned.
In an ideal world, would you like to see every 999 call you go to be attended by a NIAS paramedic? Because again, you've used this phrase, covering gaps.
I think in an ideal world, because of the nature of how fast activity increases, yes, I would. I would like to be in a position to develop our own workforce internally, and obviously, meet the activity with that workforce. Unfortunately, paramedics take nearly 2 years to train.
The major public concern will be, Paul, that I call a 999, I call you on the 999 number, I want a paramedic to attend whatever incident I'm involved in, and someone from the Red Cross or St John's arrived. The immediate assumption is that these people are not as qualified, they don't have the correct equipment to deal with perhaps the emergency they're going to. Is that the case?
No. The organisations we use, the St John's and Red Cross, their staff are registered to national standards. What we're trying to do with this is try to protect, our own paramedical resources to get to those cases that require paramedics, so they don't get tied up with those incidents where a lesser skilled crew can deal with, likes of the sprained ankles, likes of the low acuity type cases that we have to deal with on an everyday basis.